For Lyman Ag Supply and the Family Vision Center here in Cass and Adair Counties, this is Bob Ebensee along with Grant Jolly, the Conservation Officer for Cass and Adair Counties on this morning's Conservation Report. Good morning, Grant.
Good morning. Good to be back.
Asked you a question before the program. How did Christmas go with your two youngins? And you're a pretty smart guy.
Well, I don't know about that, Bob, but there's never a dull moment when you've got a 2 and 4 year old, that's for sure. But yeah, they did well this year. Santa brought them a new puppy, so that was a big hit, and it's a Brittany Spaniel, so hopefully we can make a pheasant dog out of it one of these days when they get done tearing it and carrying it around the house. So
yeah, well, that new won't wear off right away on kids that age. They're going to be a lot of loving going on there.
You betcha.
Sure, you bet. We got some things ending. We can talk about the goose thing ending. I need a little story, a little time for a story that one of my acquaintances is a pilot, does a lot of flying, and he was coming back in, making his approach to the Atlantic Airport a while back, and he was watching a couple small flocks of geese off in the distance, paying close attention, and happened to look down. His windows are pretty deep on his plane, and he said it was awful close. He was right over a flock of geese there. So not everything is good all the way around. There's always things can happen to you that you don't really plan on.
Yeah, you know, that's always a major concern around airports, especially some of the major airports in Des Moines and Omaha. But, you know, they have people that actually keep the geese and other wildlife away from the runways. But you betcha. Yeah, this is the time of the year where you know, you can drive out here to the Schildenberg quarries, and there's thousands of geese and swans on one of the ponds. Anyway, they've got it, have kept it open even when it was as cold as it was last week or the week before. But yeah, that's a major concern around aircraft, and especially if they're flying, you know, just before dusk. It seems like that's when the birds really go out to feed, and then they head back, you know, right at dark to roost again. So we've got a pretty good population of them here in Atlantic locally, and you know, any body of water that you can find this time of the year that has open water tends to hold lots and lots of waterfowl. Lake Anita is another place that has, you know, it's probably got 4,000 to 5,000 geese on it right now, and lots of ducks as well. So there's opportunities to be had if you're a waterfowl hunter. You know, you've got until the 18th of January for the goose season, the dark goose season, and you know, if you can get permission on a cornfield that's not too far from one of those roosting areas, you're almost guaranteed a pretty good shoot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds good. My advice to this guy flying his plane around, they have a deal, did have a deal. Nobody knows whether deer whistles ever worked or not, but they were mounted, so he needs something like that. I think he could probably just take something off an automobile that would honk.
Yeah.
You suppose?
Well, something, it may attract them, too. They may think it's a big goose there, but yeah, they can get real used to us humans too, and you know, especially golf courses or battle them year after year, and
sure,
you know, they can be a bit of a nuisance at times. And in fact, I've seen somebody's dumped some corn out here by the ponds for them, and I personally hate to see that, because it, you know, it makes them less wild, it makes them more dependent upon us, and you know, we need them to venture out, and because mm-hmm. they could really damage the water supply out there too. You know, the water with all the goose poop that goes in that water, they can really affect the water quality. So it's good to get them out and stretching their wings a bit.
You bet. If you're going to do any hunting or fishing, you need to get a license pretty shortly. They run out on the 10th. My goodness, that's coming up.
It is, and that's fast approaching, and you know, it's something, especially like if you're a goose hunter, you need to keep in mind that your license will expire there, and you'll still have 8 more days left of the season. But ice fishing as well, you know, you may not think about it, and may have not fished, you know, since the summertime, and a buddy may ask you to go ice fishing one evening in late January, and before you realize it, you've got an expired license. So yeah, definitely want to make sure that you go out and purchase your new fishing license for the year, your hunting and habitat license as well, if you're going to be doing some coyote hunting, or you know, there's will be several seasons that'll carry on through the end of January there. So definitely want to make sure you're checking your license and make sure that you're up to date on that stuff.
You bet. What are you finding out? Have you been dipping a line yourself as far as the fishing is concerned?
I have. In fact, Lake Anita is pretty hot right now. It's there's still, you know, the ice is definitely thick enough out there, but yeah, there's bluegill are biting really well out there. A crappie are biting good. You might have to sort through some crappie to get some of the bigger 9 and 10 inch ones that are typically the ones that crappie anglers go after. But Lake Anita is an excellent sunfish fishery. They've got great bluegill out there. So yeah, you grab yourself some wax worms and a little tiny little ice jig, and you know, seems like those fish are in that 10 to 12 foot range out there and just off the bottom. So there was quite a few folks fishing out there yesterday, and I expect with some of these warmer days we're having that there's going to continue to be a good spot. But I've also heard that Orient Lake down in Adair County is doing fairly well too. I talked to a guy last week who was catching some crappie down there, bluegill, and of course they've got walleye in that lake as well, so you could potentially catch some walleye down there. So yeah, there's lots of opportunities for ice fishing here locally. Of course, you always want to use a little bit of common sense and you know, kind of check that ice thickness as you go. If there's any question, you know, it's not worth falling in over, particularly places like Anita where they've got geese have got a, you know, 4 or 5 acre spot out there in the middle that's still open. You want to make sure that you don't get too close to that. And if there's pumps or aerators or anything like that in a body of water that you may be fishing, that can particularly make it dangerous as well. So use a little bit of common sense and check the ice thickness as you go. And we always recommend you ice fish with a buddy too. If something happens, you got somebody there to either help you or go get help. So definitely a sport that you want to use quite a bit of common sense with.
Mm-hmm. You bet. If you're hunting with a buddy, you want to be very polite about things and let him lead the way.
That's right. Yeah.
You bet. Let him get down there first. If you're looking at a new lake, most of our Iowa state lakes, I believe, are mapped now, aren't they, as far as structure? And that's available probably on the Internet.
It is. In fact, we've got a guy out at Cold Springs, Lewis Bruce. He works on a lot of that stuff. So he may be a really good resource contact if you call out to the Cold Springs office and ask for Lewis. If you're looking for a particular lake, he may be able to direct you to that. But you're exactly right. You can go to our website, and there'll be the lake. It'll have area maps and things like that on the website that you can actually go to, and it'll show you contour lines underwater and maybe potential structures that may be there. So, yeah, it's a real handy tool for fishermen, especially if it's a lake you've never been to in your life. You can pull up that map, and it can help you kind of narrow down where the fishing may be best. So mm-hmm. it's a real handy tool that you can throw in your toolbox.
Couple that with a GPS system, and they can put you right on where the fish should be. Not maybe that's where they were last week.
That's
when
right.
They should have been here. But
typical fishing story. Yeah, not always a guarantee, but it's always best to start where it looks like it could be a good spot to fish.
You bet. Now they've done a wonderful job on some of these lakes of restoring them. I think down at I guess that's in Union County, but the lake down at Creston is being drained down, and So there's a lot of things going on all the time in our lakes.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit. I don't think you have the numbers on the deer harvest yet, but we still got the archers and the black powder guys out in the timber.
We do, yep. We've got some season left in that. It'll go till the 10th, and don't have any official numbers yet. I know we talked about, I gave some first shotgun season harvest totals here a while back on our previous show, but don't have anything official from the second shotgun season yet. But yeah, we'll go over that on our next program for sure. Talk about some of the harvest numbers by county. Hopefully things picked up during that second season. And of course, the late muzzleloader season has really become popular over the years. It's a little bit longer season, and you know, people like to hunt that one because this time of the year when it starts to get cold and sometimes there's snow often on the ground, If you see one deer, you might see 25. You know, they typically tend to herd up. Mm-hmm. And so if you're in a spot where there's good feed or there's good a good bedding area, you've got a really good shot at getting a deer this time of the year. So it's fun season. My wife bagged her first Iowa deer the other day with black powder, so she was pretty happy. And I enjoy this season probably more than any of them. It's a good time to get out and hunt.
Buy them a puppy and feed them deer meat, and they're going to be outdoors people. There's no doubt about that.
Well, that's the plan.
It's very important that hunters report their kills, particularly this year, because I understand there's some scarcity in some spots where there just doesn't seem to be many deer at all, and that it gets reflected in what we got and what the biologists need to do. So that's important.
Well, that's a great point, yep. And that's something that we've seen kind of, a lack thereof here in some places. When you harvest a deer or turkey, you've got till midnight the following day to get it registered. Real simple process. You can go to our website and follow the easy steps there, or you can call the 800 number that'll be located on the top portion of your harvest permit, and call that number, and it takes literally, you know, a couple of minutes. You'll need to know what county you're in, the sex of your deer, and they'll ask you a few questions about that, and you'll get your confirmation number back that you'll then record on the top portion of your tag and then attach it to the animal as well. So real simple process. It's unfortunate that some people don't put a whole lot of effort into that at times, but you know, like we've talked time and time again, it's not optional for one, but secondly, it's really important data for the biologists to gather. They know, you know, the number of deer that are being harvested in a county, or maybe lower population trends, higher population trends, so that they can adjust maybe the quotas for the antlerless tags that may be allowed for the following season. So that's really invaluable data that we really need to get from the hunters who are successful.
Okay. Things are winding down. We still got, the squirrel season goes on through January 31st, the rabbit season through February 28th, and that's probably a case where you should have been here last year because the rabbit population is seriously down. It's not a big deal, but there's not as many as there once was. And we need to remind people of the turn-in poachers, the TIP program.
We do. That's a real neat program that we've got here. It's something that I always tell people to plug that phone number into their phone. Another good thing is to plug your local conservation officer's phone number into your cell phone as well. Everybody carries a cell phone with them when they're hunting nowadays, so it's really easy to get in touch with us. But yeah, it's you can call us at any time. You can text a lot of time. I've got people that I don't even know that text me on occasion.
Sure.
And you know, that's perfectly fine with me. I don't mind that at all. But the TIP program is a good program for remaining anonymous and turning in poachers. And in fact, you can get rewards for, you know, any information that you may turn in that could lead to a possible citation or arrest of that individual that's out there poaching. So utilize that. And again, if you go to our hunting and trapping regulations for 2016-2017 on page 38, it's got every conservation officer's phone number in the state listed there, along with which county we are. So you'll notice I'm number one there, occasionally I get phone calls from all over the state. Uh-huh. And the reason is they open that book up and they first one they see is me, I get a lot of phone calls from all other states, but that's okay. That's what I get paid to do. So, Yep, utilize that and give us a call when you've got questions.
Sounds good. Lots of things going on in the great outdoors. Just go out and take a walk on New Year's Day. You can do that in some of the state parks. So a lot of things going on. And for the Lyman Egg Supply in Lyman, Iowa, and the Family Vision Center in the heart of greater downtown Atlantic, this is Bob Evensley along with Grant Jolly, the conservation officer for Cass and Adair Counties on this morning's Conservation Report.